Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
22 straight against Cleveland. Ian Eagles said it. It's true. It's damn true. 22 years running. The Browns have come here and met the same fate, a loss to the Steelers. That's where we'll start the show. It won't dominate the show like it usually does because the Steelers beating the Browns is old hat. Penn State firing a football coach for football reasons has literally never happened. So,
not even when they were wearing pink and black?
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe it did back then. So there's a lot of opinions there. We'll open up the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We have intern Jack in the house with his mullet to handle that. And we've got Donnie Football here as well for the next 4 hours at 412-928-9370. Here is a question about that game, the way the Steelers won it, and about the Steelers team that I haven't really heard asked yet today on our station that I think is the opinion from fans I'm most interested in hearing today, Malzi.
I'm ready. Fire away.
Do you think the Steelers are closer to being a great team or an average team? Don't give me the good BS, because if we put out a Twitter poll, what kind of team are the Steelers? Great, good, average. Everybody would answer good, and it would be the most, you know, redundant talk in circles conversation, because that would be the cop-out. Mm-hmm. Are they closer to great or average? When you see that defensive performance, when you see their pass rush unleashed, when you see Jalen Ramsey look like the all-pro he was in both Jacksonville, LA, a little bit in Miami, but he's coming off this hamstring injury, and he was this jack-of-all-trades player that Mike Tomlin labeled him as when they got him. He played safety. He played slot corner. He played outside corner. He rushed the passer and got home twice. He was everywhere, man, and he probably shouldn't have played.
Yes,
the offensive
he inspired people by coming out there and showing up for that
the
game.
The offensive line beat their defensive line. The Steelers went over 100 yards rushing against the best run defense in the NFL.
They imposed their will physically.
Yeah.
They did.
DK Metcalf, another touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, another mistake-free game. Mike Tomlin, another well-coached game, both in terms of his game plan going in and then what he did in-game. So I would say they're closer to being great than average. We might have a great football team here. I think they're great.
I hate it when you ask these questions.
Why? Because it forces Malzi to be negative, and that's the role you hate to play,
no,
even though you were born to play it.
No, that's not the reason. The reason is because I think you ask them as if they sort of only occurred to you a little bit ago, but in reality, you've put an exceptional amount of thought into them. And then because you hide some of it, I am forced to try to do all the arithmetic on the spot.
Why
here.
Do you need math? Just go with the gutty.
I'm not doing, I mean arithmetic in like the figurative sense.
Oh, but what's your gut reaction to it?
My gut is that they're still closer to being an average team.
Why is that?
Because I don't still think that we've seen like truly explosive fireworks from this offense, other than against the Jets, who now look just truly woebegone.
Why? They held Sean Payton.
I know.
13 points yesterday.
It was a weird, I mean, they were still, the Steelers were under 300 yards of offense there. They've scored 17, 21, 24, and 23 in subsequent four games, and they've gone 3-1 in those games. What has me held up here is this. They beat the Patriots, who I think are starting to look like a pretty good football team, who have a win over the Bills,
So you've changed your mind on that game.
I have to, because I've watched the Patriots handle their business against Spencer Rattler, who actually is one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the league still, and beat a very good Bills team in a big high-profile matchup. They beat the Vikings, who I don't think are bad. I think the Vikings are flawed right now, but I don't think they're bad, and that's still a very good defense, and the Steelers jumped out.
And they're well-coached.
They are well-coached.
No doubt about that.
And Tomlin out-coached both of those guys.
Yep.
And then I think Schwartz is a pretty good defensive coordinator, and Tomlin and Arthur Smith, forget about what they did to Dylan Gabriel. Once they stopped Judkins, that was pretty much academic that they were going to whoop on
they
Dylan
Gabriel. They
stopped
Judkins, but as it often happens against the Steelers, Stefanski also stopped Judkins. He used to stop Chubb, and now he's stopping Judkins. The two-time coach of the year there, baby.
Lifetime appointment.
To put the stop sign up on his own best players.
When Sean Judkins
love to see it.
Had 23 carries for 110 against the Vikings, who have a worse run defense than the Steelers, let's be fair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, here's why I'm torn on this, because I still think they have less of an, like, they don't have the explosive offense I would like to see out of what I would call a great team. Here's why I'm torn. They've beaten what I think is one pretty good to very good team. One good team in the Vikings. Patriots, I think, might be pretty good to very good. The Browns, I thought, were going to turn this into a rock fight because I foolishly didn't think Kevin Stefanski would have his head up his ass and not give Judkins the ball more. And I thought the Browns would just make it close. And for a while, it looked like they would. And then the Steelers did what good teams do, and that's this. When the Browns sloppily gave them second life by running into Waitman.
Yep.
They cashed it in.
Yep.
Put the game away.
Absolutely.
And then they put the game away again when the Browns only got a field goal to try to cut into it and didn't make it a one-score game. Here's DK Metcalf. Rodgers misses the one bad throw of the day where he like lollipops a ball up in the air when Metcalf's 5 yards clear. Doesn't matter. I know that was on the Hayward drive that he ended up throwing those, but given the second chance to hit Metcalf on a deeper ball, he puts it right on the money, and they handle their business. They don't look to me offensively like a really good team, like a great team, as you put it. But their resume early on here is starting to stack up. And you know what else kind of weirdly works in their favor here? The team they lost to through, I would call, two fluky plays. Your kick returner being back there and not knowing the rules.
Yep.
And one of your wide receivers running a bad route and paying like the heaviest price for it.
Uh-huh.
That team looks really good. The Seahawks.
You also didn't have Harmon for that game.
Which might have changed the calculus, and I don't think Kenneth Walker Jr. is running all over you on 3rd and 19. Listen, man, I'm going to stick to my guns and say they're a little closer to average because I don't know where their offensive line is yet, and I don't know how long these heavy sets can last forever, which they did again yesterday. I thought it was pretty much coaching masterclass, like all the way down from Tomlin. We're not going to let Myles Garrett beat us. He didn't. We're not going to let Dylan Gabriel get comfortable. He wasn't. I need to see them do a little more offensively through the air and by extension have their offensive line just look a little bit more, steady on its own merits instead of here's Spencer Anderson, here's Darnell Washington. But I knew this was, I knew I was going to be wrong and that you both were going to get the drop on me in PM team picks after one play happened in this game. You want to know what that was? They send Darnell Washington out there in big, heavy package of football, like we're going to run the ball right at you. Play action, boot it, and you've got Darnell Washington running like Mr. Larson from Happy Gilmore up the field, Donnie, as they have just completely fooled the Browns, and there's this lumbering giant.
I love that play.
Pony, that was the play that automatically convinced me that they were just going to run circles around Stefanski. So I am going to stick to my guns and say average, but it's only because of a little
you've
bit of concern.
You've made all points for them being closer to great,
but they
and
haven't
then you're
played
just sticking with average.
Here's the other thing. They haven't. I know they've beaten a team in the Patriots that I think is pretty good, and the Vikings are good. And the one really good team they've played beat them, but in an oddly fluky manner. But they have to play the meat of their schedule coming up.
Donnie, are the Steelers more like an average team or more like a great team?
I think they're closer to great.
So do I, man. I don't. Chris says like the offense is not, you know, a high-powered offense yet, but the offense isn't bad. They don't really have a weakness right now. Like when you, if you were playing the Steelers on Thursday, if you were the Bengals, what would you look at and say, they're really crappy in this area, let's exploit them there? I don't think they have one.
My only thinking to attack their offense would be make sure that we lock down DK Metcalf because I don't really trust anybody else they have at receiver, and they will be required to use all four of their tight ends or something. But that's really it.
The weird thing is, though, Donnie, like that was the first thought that popped into my mind when Pony asked you the question. If it's that simple, why haven't other teams managed to do it? They're not targeting Metcalf like a ton, but he is, and he drops some passes too, which is bizarre.
But
he is, they are remarkably efficient though. When they target him, it seems like his ass is open every time.
But that's because, and just being at the game and seeing it from a different perspective makes sense though. You can't really double a guy from the second the ball is snapped. Like if DK Metcalf wants to run a quick out, how do you double team that?
You can't.
You really, I mean, you can have a guy in position to make a tackle.
That's not throwing the ball down the field. That's like teams will trade that kind of stuff sometimes.
But he's such a good catch and run guy for his size that that's not like, you can't just concede that's going to be a 6 or 7 yard gain on the play because he's taken those plays, not specifically an out, but he's taken the short play 80 yards for a touchdown.
No, I know. Listen, I know George Pickens is a topic of conversation still for people because he balled out again, even though they lost in
yep.
hilarious fashion against Carolina. I do think you're getting like you're getting the things that made Pickens like made people want to give Pickens kind of extra grace here from Metcalf. You're getting a lot of the same attributes without any of the BS still. Like, it is remarkable that even though he is really their only proven wide receiver, that he's still getting the ball and making plays.
By the way, are we going to get any of the guys who called in Friday and said, I jinxed the Steelers. Steelers have no chance now. Shut up, Pony. Don't make this prediction. And I said, I know what's going to happen, you cowards. The Steelers are going to win. And then Monday's going to come around. You're going to crawl back inside that cave, that hole that you live in. And we're not going to hear from you.
Do you remember who either of those guys were?
Oh, there were multiple. I mean,
I heard
he was
two.
He was a trending topic on Twitter where it said, like, fans have asked Andrew Filippone to take his tweet down saying that the Steelers would win easily.
And I heard even, there was even a guy from Greensburg, and then I forget who the other one was. But I know there were two while I was listening.
And even I can't. The Steelers-Browns is jinx-proof from me. That's how powerful the Steelers' reign of dominance is over them.
Do you want to know my honest take here?
Paul Skeens and Steelers-Browns are the two things I can't
my
F
God,
up.
You've really tried to jinx Skeens. I locked eyes with him and inspired
that
him.
That happened twice.
Mm-hmm. He got that hot dog roller, though, like me now. He's a follower on that front.
412-928-9370.
I'll leave people with this thought going into the break.
Why? We want to take a call on it quick. You want to just get a whet your appetite for how people are feeling?
I would like, yes.
Steelers after the win. Closer to great or average, here's Matt on the fan. Hello, Matt.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I think it's still average just because if you look at prior games, you know, the Seahawks ran all up and down the field on them.
But they didn't have Harmon then.
Yeah, well, it still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And granted, it was like an early game. And then you had the Patriots, 5 turnovers. We only went by a touchdown, right? And you have the just hear me out. Then you have the Vikings, where you thought, okay, well, you know, commanding lead, and then all of a sudden, that's 24-21, and then we thump the Browns and everybody's riding high. I still see us losing 7 to 8 games.
If they lose 8 games, they're 4-1 right now. That would mean they have to play 5-7 the rest of the way.
And they get
they get
the Bengals with Flacco at least once, but almost certainly twice.
Right.
They get the Browns with, it doesn't matter if, you know,
so after
Tom
the
Brady
Cincinnati
came out of
game, that means you think if they win that against Flacco, they're going to go 4-7 the rest of the way.
Well, okay, hear me out. Packers,
yep.
Colts, Chargers, Bears with Williams, they could actually light it up if they play well, right? Bills. And Lions. I mean, those teams are really good.
If I were
going to
play devil's advocate, hold on. If I were going to play devil's advocate about the Packers, they didn't exactly put away the Bengals with Joe Flacco having like 3 days.
And they lost to the Browns. And the game's here.
Like, I get it,
man.
They
lost to Cleveland, Matt.
Matt, I get it that in this town we care about the Steelers, and so we are going to hyper-analyze everything they do. But I try to make sure I watch every other team as much as possible. Because sometimes you have to acknowledge, like, the Packers played like ass against the Browns and lost. They hardly put away Joe Flacco yesterday. They're not infallible. And they tied the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Who just lost to the Panthers.
And the game's here. And if there's one game Aaron Rodgers wants to win more than any game other than the Super Bowl this year, it's that one.
Did he say the Chargers in that one yet?
He did. They needed a miracle to beat the Dolphins yesterday.
Like, they had to do all that. Even the Colts, who I think have a head coach who, like, clearly has shown a knack for out-scheming Mike, even the Colts is here, which I think is a different ball of wax than going there and playing them.
This is all something else I think it's worthy to bring up all of the other teams in the AFC, because there's really nobody that looks dominant. The Chiefs did look great last night, and I think that everybody else
is cheering.
I'm
happy you said that, because to me, the definition of great changes every year.
Based on what the other teams look
right,
like.
Right, okay? So to be a great NFL team this year in the AFC, like, great to me is you're in the top 4 out of 16 teams. You're in the upper quarter. The Steelers are one of those teams right now. Would you anybody argue with me on that? You've got the Colts. You've got the Chiefs.
The Bills are still
you've
there.
Got the Bills. And you've got the Steelers. Who's better?
I mean, if we're playing the round robin game, the Steelers have beaten the Patriots, who've beaten the Bills. I can't put the Steelers down, you know,
you can't put them below the Patriots.
They're 3-0 against AFC competition.
You can't put them below the Broncos or Chargers. You can't put them below the Jaguars after yesterday. You can't put them below the Texans or the Ravens or any of those teams.
We're also asking, I think people can answer this two different ways, what they are right now and what people project them to be. I would project the Kansas City Chiefs at 3-3 to win the Super Bowl.
I just said I still think Kansas City's better than them.
I think
even
Buffalo's
though the record's
better.
Not as good, it's fine.
I think Buffalo's better.
But you can, those two teams can be great, and you can be great too.
I'm going to make an admission coming up after the break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
About this team.
Service Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Steelers do what they always do. A tale as old as time. They beat the Browns at home. Last time the Browns won a regular season game here. Jack, our producer, was still having his diapers changed by his dad. Donnie was...
No, I actually have a correction for you on that.
Okay.
The last time they won a regular season game here, Jack was still 2 years away from birth.
Oh my God.
His parents hadn't even conceived him yet.
Were they even together then, Jack? Okay.
I would hope so. Yeah, pretty quick turnaround to have a kid, have little Jack. BLV on the YouTube comments pointing out what I'm wearing here, Pony, which is my little dotted thing. He said, Malzy, have you considered that given how big your head is and you're wearing a white hat, that it now just looks like a giant moon above a starry night sky that you've created? That's why our YouTube commenters are the best, baby. I will say this, Pony. I know you got something to do here, but I will say this. You've asked a very interesting question. Are the Steelers right now 5 games in closer to average or closer to being great? And I said average. But I think this is an admission, a significant one from me. In light of who their quarterback is, and I know what his shortcomings are, but I also know what good Aaron Rodgers looks like and like him zipping a ball that whatever, Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky or Mason Rudolph probably could never do. I am more open to the idea that they have a higher ceiling, that they can become great than I've been at any point in this. And you've got to protect the guy. You can't have him moving around too much. The throw to Hayward, though, after he throws a lollipop incompletion, the one to Washington to get him down the field a little bit, or Metcalf, I'm sorry, to get him down the field, and then the touchdown to Hayward, sorry. Like, I'm not seeing that play made by quarterbacks that they've had post-Big Ben.
Here is Malzy's number one nemesis, Adrian in Pittsburgh. Hello, Adrian.
What's up, Pittsburgh? What's up, show?
Hello, Adrian.
Andrew.
Yes.
Malzy, what's up? Andrew, you are the greatest front runner of all time.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I react to the games. I watch them, and then I give opinions based on how a team performs. My bad.
So what do you got to say? What do you have to say about Broderick Jones today?
I think Broderick Jones is on the up and up. I have high marks for him. I think Broderick Jones is getting better.
Okay. Everyone should apologize to George Pickens and Broderick Jones on this whole station.
Why? Everyone kind of knew what George Pickens' deal was. Incredibly talented player who is a potential major headache at any point in time.
That produces when used. Mike Tomlin holding
him back. Did George Pickens' team win yesterday, Adrian? I wasn't watching the end of that game. How'd that go for the Cowboys? He had a huge game. I figure they must have won by 2 touchdowns.
It wasn't his fault. And by the way, to answer your question,
yes,
we're closer to great. I picked them to go 13-4 before the season even started, with the only losses coming in L.A., Baltimore, Cincinnati on the road, and in Detroit.
So you've got a loss coming this Thursday.
No, he's going to flip it. He's got them at 14-3 now.
No, we're going to destroy the Bengals this week.
Well, okay, that's like, what you just said.
Like, we're going to get that Seattle game back by beating Cincinnati on the road.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And I'm kind of looking at like it could be 14-3 because I don't see them losing to the Chargers now. The Chargers aren't that good, and my preseason prediction, the four best teams in the NFL was Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Philadelphia. And that's going to come true in the end because those will be the two championship games. And the football genius, a.k.a. me, is always right, which is why you guys are afraid to play me in fantasy football, which I want to do next year.
Who's your favorite college team?
Well, see, Chris. Chris always trying to throw something in there.
It's Florida State. Yeah.
Florida State lost to my second favorite team, the Pitt Panthers.
Goodbye, Adrian. Have a good day. See ya.
You got to do your homework. You got to know your scouting reports on your callers here.
Here is Sean on the fan. Hello, Sean.
You know why I'm calling, Pony. I got the Greensburg pipe, and I'm smoking it.
Is this Sean in Greensburg?
Yeah, the jabroni. You call me every other name in the book.
Well, I was right and you were wrong. So I appreciate you calling in to take your medicine, Sean. You're being a good sport.
Hey, you know what, though, Pony? Honestly, when you made that comment about Pitt, I have a horrible feeling about Pitt. I'm like, here we go. I might have them. I've never rooted against the Steelers in my entire life.
Yeah.
But yesterday was might have been an exception after Pitt beat Florida State. But, you know, since you said I was under a rock and everything else, I figured I better take my medicine and call in and get what's coming. So.
I wasn't part of this back and forth, Sean. I put you in the top.
You were right there.
Well, I mean, I let you really do the heavy lifting. I put you in the top 1% of callers, Sean, because I think 99% of callers would not come back and take their medicine here publicly.
Yeah,
and
I want to laud you.
I want to laud you for it. I think that's big of you.
Sean, are they closer to being great or average?
Honestly, you're 2 for 2. I think they're closer to being great.
Let's go. See you, Sean.
What is this, like in Step Brothers? Did we just become best friends? What the hell is this? Don't you? I mean, the schedule, and I still think the offensive line should be things that give people some pause.
I'm still waiting for Jack to get on the microphone and say, well, Lamar Jackson's going to be back after the bye. Here come the Ravens, the greatest quarterback of all time. They might not lose another game. Did you see their defense only held the Rams to 17 points yesterday? The defense plays like that the rest of the way. The Ravens aren't going to lose another game.
I mean, point in fact, their schedule does.
Oh my God! Stop!
Ease
Don't
up
do it.
Pony. Bears and then 3 in a row on the road: Dolphins, Vikings, Browns. They should go at least 3-1 there. Jets, Bengals, Steelers. The Steelers better handle their business.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the PM Team on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. All the people who are freed up today because of the holiday that are listening and watching earlier than usual, thanks for hanging out with us. We will talk about what went down at Penn State later this hour. We'll take more of your calls on today's topic. Are the Steelers closer to being a great team or an average team? But right now, it's something we call the PM Team Plays of the Game. Week 6 edition for the Steelers game. Another home win over the Browns, 23-9. Browns, Cleveland Browns. Here we go again. Ken Carmen getting
tomato
red this morning, screaming and yelling about it.
He reminded me of like what the dad on the Wonder Years would look like when he would get angry on the show. Or he looks like a 1950s dad who came home and saw the kids misbehaving, the house was a mess, and just got angrier and angrier and angrier. And Anthony Lima in there with him just sat there and let him scream.
I know. I really should text him and ask him what that's like. Is he checked out? Does he just kind of sit there and ignore it? And wait for him to stop talking and not really...
The best part was Ken, you could tell Ken in the middle of it kind of realized what he was doing. And instead of like throttling it back and acting normal, he decided to lean in harder and get even more mad.
All right, I'll go first because my play was the first play. Hit it, Don.
Game 2 weeks ago in Ireland. Rodgers to throw it. Wide open! Washington! He'll get caught from behind and Washington loses the ball. It's punched out of bounds.
Yeah, I'm not just as a quick kind of a little, like Tomlin did after the game with the penalties. Fine-tooth comb, nitpicky thing. I don't love the way Darnell Washington holds onto the football. I think he's got to work on some ball security stuff for as huge as he is and as strong as he is.
He was looking around. I thought he wasn't going to fumble there because it was obvious he was looking for people coming to get him, and he still did.
Steelers now 7-0 when he gets 40-plus snaps in a game. So the more Washington, the better. I loved that play. You set him up. Everybody in the entire stadium was thinking, here we go again.
It fooled me.
Here come all the big fellas. We're going to shove it up your rear end and show you guys that we can run the ball on you with our big people. Slip them out.
Was there a
easy
Browns player with
pitch and catch?
Piss and catch.
Yeah. Easy pitch and catch. And there you have it. You got yourself a lead. It wasn't a touchdown. You'd prefer that, but 3-0 lead. And
was there a Browns player within 10 yards of him when he caught the ball?
No.
He also, Donnie, did you notice, like most football players, they're obviously blazingly fast, but they kind of run in a way that you can't even see their legs moving. You could see like him doing the classic like sprinter run because he's so big he can't run any other way.
Brilliant play call.
It really was.
By Arthur Smith, and I thought that was... Right off the bat, showed you yet again who the Steelers are and what the Browns are. Let's get to Malzi's play of the game.
Line of scrimmage, just shy of the 11. 10th play of the drive. Rodgers, sprint out. On the move, directing traffic, throws! Touchdown! Connor Hayward!
A couple things about this play. Rodgers, a few throws earlier, had just like thrown an arm punt-looking deep ball to DK Metcalf that should have been a touchdown and wasn't, and I was like, man, what the hell just happened there? Now, I don't know if he blamed that one on the field. Maybe he did. But he then threw a seed to Metcalf to make up for it, and then violated pretty much the primary rule of quarterbacking, right? Don't throw the ball late back across your body to the middle of the field. Pretty much in any capacity, it cost Brett Favre a late career chance to go to the Super Bowl. But he's Aaron Rodgers. He baited the safety. He threw the ball where only he could get it. But that's actually not why I'm mentioning the play. I don't think Connor Hayward is like some great NFL player. But I did think it was low rent that so many fans, when they were mad at his brother, who has, of course, played very well after the first game of the season, lumped him in and said,
cut Connor and hurt
him.
Cam's feelings.
They only have him on the team because his brother's here. What a loser. That was a phenomenal catch. That was a very good throw and a better catch. I don't think he's some great player, but I do think he has use for an NFL team. That is a really top-shelf play that not everybody makes. I think the guy deserves his flowers for a very impressive
catch.
And
the fact that they were simpatico there, there's a mind meld there.
He knew what to do.
I'm going to give Tomlin credit again. They do this all training camp, where they rep things at the goal line and work on things. And I think when you do those 7-shot drills one advantage to it, too, is that the defense knows your playbook. They know the Steelers' offense. So that probably causes sometimes for plays
to go improv.
Yeah, because they know what's coming.
It was an awesome catch,
and
man.
And that was ad-lib excellence on both of their parts, quick thinking on your feet to be able to do that. To be able to be in sync with each other. I agree. That was, to me, the play, even though...
I thought that broke the game for the
Browns. I agree. I didn't think the Browns had any chance of coming back after that.
I think they were done after that.
But here was the play that really put him away. Donnie's play of the game.
Gainwell in the backfield. Rodgers pump. Rodgers throw. Separation. End zone. Touchdown. He put it in the bucket to DK Metcalf.
Great throw from Rodgers. Fourth consecutive game now that these guys have a touchdown between them. So that pair is really starting to pay off and heat up. And... even though I agree with you guys that the Hayward touchdown was likely the one that really put the game away, this was one where we knew there was zero shot the Browns had a chance to come back, because it would have required, what, three scores at the point?
The only way they were going to come back and win the game at that point or make it a game was like hitting,
that made it 23-6.
Hitting an accidental big play or something, like where the Steelers have a busted coverage, because one thing was very evident watching the game, and you guys know how pessimistic I am. They couldn't move the ball. They refused to try to give Judkins any like runway to operate and get himself going, and I think the Steelers were a lot to do with that. They had nothing with Gabriel out there. His one great throw he made, like truly big-time throw, Fannin just drops
it.
So the game was done. I put the kids in the car to go to my sister's house with like 6 minutes left because that game was done.
So I want to give DK Metcalf props. Because he's showing us again that he's not wired like A.B. or George Pickens. There are plays in that game where we could see frustration boil over from quarterback and wide receiver. Metcalf beats corner, underthrown ball by Aaron Rodgers, doesn't give his wide receiver a shot. There's a play on the sideline. Metcalf drops the ball. It goes right through his hands.
Yep.
Rodgers could get pissed.
Doesn't.
They don't. They stick with it. And then they're able to connect on that play.
Yep.
It's the professionalism and adult behavior of those guys that you should probably take for granted as football fans, but you can't based on how the way we've seen quarterback wide receiver relationships here in Pittsburgh for a very long time.
In Pittsburgh, how about the defending Super Bowl champions are probably going to trade their best receiver because they don't get him the ball and he's getting mad
about
it. And
why not trade him here? Because Aaron Rodgers can get him in line. Let's get Alex Highsmith and a pick to the Eagles for A.J. Brown today. Seriously, would they do that?
I apply the...
I know there's dead money, but can we do that? What do you think, Donnie? Is that off the table completely?
Donnie, you know what I'm about
to
say.
They need rushers.
I apply the Tampa Bay Rays rule to any trade involving Howie Roseman. If you're trading with Howie, something bad's going to happen to you.
I know, but he let good players walk this offseason. Kenneth Gainwell would be an example of that. He's not batting 1,000. Milton Williams is looking pretty good in New England.
Not good enough to beat the Steelers, of course.
Let's get Lou and Staten Island in on the Steelers here. Lou, are the Steelers closer to great or average?
As of today, I'm going to go average. Oh. But hear me out for a second, okay? I've said this all the years I call, and I'm going to stick with it.
Okay.
When they win a game, you have to be happy, right? I mean, because if you're not happy when they win, then you're missing the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm a part of that, all right? But when has the bar gotten so low? Think about what just happened right here, okay?
Yep.
We're playing a doormat franchise at home, off a bye, with a rookie quarterback, and they came from London on a short break.
Yep.
And everybody's ready to throw a Super Bowl party. Let's just take a step back, okay? And this is where I'm going to say this week is where everyone's going to get burned.
Wow.
We're all going to do what you guys have been saying. And we should go into Cincinnati, win the game easily by 7 or 10 points. And what's going to happen? You watch. Here comes the Tomlin special.
Lou, there's some data.
We lose to Joe Flacco.
Lou, there's data to back this up on your end. He's 2-9 on road Thursday games.
He's 0-6 in the division.
That is a 182 winning percentage. The league average, I think, is near 500 for road Thursday
games. He's 0-6 in the division. It's a big spot for him.
Huge spot.
But I also think that it's a very winnable spot for him based on the matchup. But then again, last year's Browns game felt that way. And we got Jameis Winston.
I'm trying to do a better job, though. And I know Lou watches a lot of football. I'm sure he does. of giving them a little grace when they do just handle a team like Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because Green Bay, who just scuffled to beat the Bengals,
right,
lost to Cleveland. Like, I cannot just slough off those results.
Did anybody not, was the irony lost on anyone else that Lou in that call said, hey guys, we've got to be able to enjoy
be
days
happy
like
when
this.
They win, but
and they are going to go to Cincinnati, yeah, and crap themselves again.
Somebody wrote it, Turd Sandwich says, I agree with Lou. Well, he kind of contradicted himself.
Yes.
What part do you agree with? All of it? That maybe, you should enjoy wins and that they're going to lose the next one?
Maybe table the Cincinnati skepticism and negativity until Tuesday, Wednesday,
Mike, and
Thursday.
I mean, if I'm going to give that second part credence, Mike absolutely needs to prove that he can get these guys ready to go right back out there and do this, because he hasn't done a good job of it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.